Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Experience holiday cheer at Tanger Outlets with savings up to 70% off your favorite brands. From fragrances to accessories and the latest styles, discover the best gifts for everyone on your list. Save big at Nike Factory Store, Michael Kors, Under Armour, Coach, Polo Ralph Lauren, Kate Spade New York, and so many more. Unwrap the best at Tanger Outlets. Hundreds of brands, endless gifting options. Plan your trip at Tanger.com.
And we're back. It's an SGSBBD double episode with Sweet Baby Dill, Dylan Hafer. We're chatting. I feel like I do want to talk about 18 to 37 more things about Salt Lake City, but I know that we will get to Bev Hills, of course, as well. But just shifting on back. So the Bronwyn-Lisa dynamic of it all. How are we feeling? We talked about like the joy, I think, felt truly by everyone in watching their spat carry through multiple courses. But have they even eaten yet? No, they haven't even eaten.
Whitney was very excited about some salmon. So I don't feel like we saw salmon.
We haven't yet seen salmon. But somebody's fishing for truth. With Bronwyn, that was terrible. With Bronwyn and Lisa, how did you kind of react to the back and forth between them?
Well, it's so interesting. And we've seen it many times where when there's an existing member of a cast and then somebody new comes on the show and we hear about how they go way back and they've been close before, you know, before one of them was on the show. And that obviously it doesn't always work out for the best when existing friendships get brought onto the show. But also, like, we're only ever going to, like, I'm not going to be quite as invested in a friendship that I'm told about, but I didn't see on the show. So I think for Bronwyn to me is like leaning a little bit on this idea that, like, well, Lisa is my closest friend in the group and we have the longest friendship. So I was a little bit hurt not to be in the same villa. And like, first of all, Lisa was doing some really complicated math to figure out who was going in what villa. So I think, you know, to me, I'm kind of like, Bronwyn, give it a rest. Who cares? Like, but I do think that obviously over the course of this season, I think Bronwyn has pretty consistently not felt the love from Lisa Barlow. And I do kind of feel like, how close are we getting to Bronwyn sort of just realizing that maybe Lisa is not the friend that she wants her to be? And that's a hard thing to realize. That's a hard thing to sort of like, you know, move on from, kind of expecting this person to be there for you in a certain way. But like, I think that Lisa Barlow on Housewives is probably a different friend than Lisa Barlow that you have known for 10 years. And I don't know. I mean, I think that their issues seem to be like sort of silly, but then at the same time, it's like, clearly it's really affecting Bronwyn. I don't know if it's affecting Lisa at all.
I think Lisa doesn't want to be in trouble, but she also doesn't want to change her behavior.
Yes.
I did think her confessional where she's like, these people can't be with these people, and this was excellent. I was actually, I watched it twice.
Gripping.
And spot on, by the way. I was like, Lisa, this was like a very, and the edit again with like connecting people. I was like, this was really well done. But also I get Bronwyn's perspective. She looked like a lost kid when she was taught, especially when she was like reeling from the villa selection after the fact. And then when she was talking to, was it Whitney and Angie or just Whitney? Whitney and Angie, like, she looked lost. She was genuinely under duress. And I think, I mean, LOL, but I think she's feeling particularly vulnerable because she was fucking mauled by a dog. When they said bit by a dog, I was like, okay, like,
and
that
then
sucks.
She pulls up the
her fucking leg and her arm. I was like, that bitch like got fucking trampled on. She got attacked by a beast.
Can I just say, on, I think many to most Housewives seasons and franchises, Bronwyn getting like fully, like full body attacked by a dog,
literally attacked,
would be like a half season storyline.
No, literally, her recovery. I mean,
and I feel like nobody even remembered that it happened.
Sophia almost lost a finger. Remember? Nurse or Alexia, one of them. Remember the whole thing with Kim and Kyle? Because she had to get an IV because she literally was down to the bone. Mm-hmm. She literally, I'm not even joking, she almost lost a finger. Like, that's the dog that comes to mind. Poor Bronwyn, when they did the reveal, I was shocked. It was terrible. And who's this fucking dick owner in the car taking a call while your animal is like in self-defense attack mode? Like, maybe don't take the call.
Yeah.
What the fuck? People,
and I mean,
pet owners are not responsible in the like, ways that they need to be.
Todd has to be like filing a lawsuit as we speak.
I'm sure Todd owns that car. Todd owns the phone, the car, the man. I mean,
not the dog,
but like everything else.
Yeah, no, that was crazy.
Lisa had no sympathy for her. I felt like at all. She's like cradling her arm at points. Did you see the way that she was not favoring the injured arm? Because it was an injured arm. She got mauled by
a sling. She had stitches.
Lisa was more upset about sitting in coach than her friend almost like dying, maybe, kind of.
Well, and then it's funny. I mean, I think you're just seeing like how somebody like Lisa kind of moves through the world. That it's like,
love her.
That's not making any impact on
she's
her.
She's a queen. She's a queen.
Later at the dinner when Brittany has her big announcement that her daughter spent the night at her house, she's getting absolutely nothing out of all of these women. I think maybe with the exception of Meredith, like
she did it over Palomas, over the Vita tequila, like,
ding,
Paloma,
ding, ding. I have an announcement,
margaritas,
and then it's like everybody is just over it at this point. So they're like, oh, cool.
She's like, you don't understand how big a deal it is. I mean, apologies to Brittany. Like, I don't know how to say this without being an asshole, and I'm really trying not to for the first time in my life, but like, your child, who you were estranged from, you spending time with your child that's like a great step forward. You thinking that everybody else is going to be cheering you on for this situation that we really don't have a lot of details on, that maybe you might not look particularly good if we heard more details. I'm not sure. Brittany's looking for the parade, and like, sweetie, I don't think you're ever gonna find it. Like, I love Brittany on this show. I would really hope that she is not given full time, although I just want to see her for as many years as she is willing to give those years to us. And my guess is she would be very generous with those years.
Yeah.
She's incredible television. The way she kept saying, like, facts, amen. Like, later
amen.
On.
Amen.
Amen. Facts. There's just something about her that I'm like, I could watch you forever, but also I think she thinks that she should be celebrated in a way. She's not in on the joke.
She has
with the cast or with us.
She has such like put me in coach energy, but like
she's the epitome of a pick me girl.
She's not actually ready for the game.
She literally said, "I'm so happy I'm with the cool girls."
Well, that's the thing with going back to the villa assignments. It's like the sort of tragic joke of it all is that she feels like she's been given this magic key to get to hang out with Lisa and Meredith and Heather, sort of like the, depending on who you ask, the cool girls or the mean girls. And she's like, oh my God, I get to sit with the plastics at lunch. And it's like, babe, you are being used. And, you know, she might have a great time on the trip. Maybe everybody will be nice to her, though they're not going to care about what's happening with her daughter. But she's not going to be like best friends with Lisa because she stayed in the villa. She's going to be like, you know, discarded the next time it's convenient.
Brittany Broadway, I know that she's like gone niche viral with Divine Gravity. She needs to learn. She needs to open up her oeuvre to Giants in the Sky. Because she got sold some magic fucking beans. And there are giants in the sky. There are big, tall, terrible giants in the sky. Like,
she stole the harp and she was real excited about it. She's going to get stomped.
It's so tough. Because then even at the end of that conversation in this literal prestige episode, when she says to Bronwyn, like, I'm not giving you my room. I'm just thinking, like, Brittany.
It's like, oh, you still think that's what it's about? Like,
she does. And because I think obviously her villa is encouraging it. Although I think Heather is genuinely disgusted by some of this. She's not disgusted. She's embarrassed. Mm-hmm. Heather's embarrassed by some of this, which is a fun Heather to see. Heather recoiling is delightful.
It is interesting, though, going going back to Bronwyn and sort of her position on the show, I think people have mostly responded really strongly and in a positive way to her on this season. Like, people are really enjoying her as a first season housewife. But she's not doing great in terms of her relationships in the group, because obviously she is, you know, much to her chagrin, booted from the Cool Girl Mean Girl villa. And then in her own villa, Mary's not on the trip yet. Mm-hmm. So it's only her, Whitney, and Angie. And she isn't really on great terms with Whitney or Angie. And she's kind of like, you know, in Whitney's word, I think crawling back to them because she kind of needs to. But like, there is something really like, I think new women on this show have a hard time sort of like breaking into the group and sort of like actually successfully like seeding themselves into the show. And I think that Bronwyn has made a large impact on this season, but I think something she probably needs to work on and, you know, quickly by next season is really like, okay, how do you get yourself like in the rotation of not always getting along with everybody, but feeling like you're not kind of on the outs of the group as a whole.
Yeah. And also, like, what's the conversation happening with Todd? Because he seems in, obviously, social media, everything is filtered and different. But like, when you see coverage of him by other people, when he's out with like Christian Siriano and like mm-hmm. other people are posting, he seems just a lot looser. So I don't know if that's because it's not on camera. I don't know if that's because he's with people that he likes and respects. I don't know if Todd is just a complicated guy and really does not understand the show he signed up mm-hmm. for. But now that he has a better understanding of it, what's that dynamic going to look like? Because now the preview for next week is
her opening up about
infidelity.
Yeah,
I just kind of am like, what's going to happen here now? Because even the stuff that we saw, the way he kind of not manhandled, but like put his hands on her. I mean, I get he was trying to get her attention, but at the bat mitzvah by the bar, that made me uncomfortable. I just kind of want to understand Todd a little, their dynamic a little bit more.
Yeah, I didn't love a couple weeks ago when the two of them were talking at home, I think after they had gotten back from the Palm Springs trip, and he was basically talking about her arguing and stuff. And I think the phrase he used was like, it's not becoming of you. Really? And I'm like, I don't love that. Like, it feels a little patronizing, like
a little.
Well, yes.
Yeah.
But that, yeah, like there is kind of this thing. It's like it's like sort of a two pronged thing, because I feel like first, as like a, you know, successful businessman who has lots of money and his own professional career, I don't really know how he would feel about like his personal life being on a show like this. But then on top of that, there seems to be kind of this like streak in him. I don't necessarily want to say a mean streak, but like a streak of being maybe a little ornery, a little not always dealing with emotions, or I don't know. Like, I feel like we haven't quite gotten to the root of whatever that is, but there definitely is some sort of complicated dynamic there. And I think that Bronwyn seems like a lot of fun, and she seems like she wants to, you know, mix things up on the show, and she's getting right into drama, and she's, you know, giving us a lot to work with. But like, I don't know, looking at zooming out and looking at her life and their relationship, I'm like, is this going to be sustainable for her to be on this show, you know, behaving the way she is? Not, I don't mean that in a bad way, but I'm like, if Todd sees this season and is like, well, I don't like this, is she going to be on the show next season?
Yeah, behaving in a way that's expected.
Yeah.
I now that he knows, but he's also seen her become, you know, successful and famous and whatever else since joining the cast. Is that okay? I mean, quite literally, is that okay with him?
Yeah.
Because we're seeing a dynamic with PK and Dorit right now where I'm like, I don't think PK likes that Dorit can stand on her own. I think part of the issue here with...
Then go pay K. You're not in a jacket?
I think part of the issue is like PK doesn't feel like he has his wife staring at him in adoration 24/7 as maybe she used to, or as maybe he thinks that she used to. And the other issue is like, yes, she understands that she also brings value now. She doesn't need to depend on him in the way that he mm-hmm. did. I hope that if we have more of an understanding of maybe PK not responding to things in a great way, which doesn't clear Dorit, but I'm just saying, like, I think there's some stuff here about Dorit becoming more, in the only way they can, financially independent in whatever, you know, pool of debt they're swimming in.
Debt, and
she got a lifeboat or whatever, or a couple extra waves to add. I wonder how Bronwyn and Todd's relationship might adjust, because he's less comfortable in this situation. She's more comfortable. My guess is that in his world, obviously, quite literally, he is more comfortable. She's not as much a part of it. So it's like the universe that we're watching right now, Todd, you're no longer the big kahuna. You're just paying for some of the kahuna.
And the Birkins, as we talked about in part
one. Yeah, and the $3,600, not including tax, Judith Lieber passport holders.
I would also like
in pink or navy or black.
Also, there is something to be said that, like, the longer you stay on a show like this, the more your life kind of gets wrapped up in the circus of it and everything that comes along with it. And, like, there are couples that we've seen join the show. I mean, Dorit and PK is a good example. For most of Dorit's tenure on Beverly Hills, she was, like, riding hard for PK. They were such a united front. And even when there was stuff going on with him, she was, you know, head over heels. She loves PK. That's my man. Blah, 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 blah. And, like, things change. And I think that that's something, like, this season, Bronwyn, I mean, it's not like she's having a super easy time getting along with everyone in the group, but there hasn't been anything, you know, like, really, you know, scandalous or whatever coming their way. I mean, the stuff with Gwen is difficult, obviously, but
that's not on her. That's on her.
Right. No, that's not making her look bad. That's not making him look bad.
Grandparents. Yeah.
And so when you think about, like, if Bronwyn stays on this show for 6 seasons, what could be coming down the pipeline that's not happening on this season? And you can't always predict that. And I could see Todd kind of, like, if he's, like, looking at how some other people's trajectories on these shows have been, that he's like, why are we doing this?
Yeah.
I don't know.
I don't know, man. Salt Lake City, like, has me by the absolute. Like, I just am so fucking into it, because it's just, there's so much energy there. And if I'm watching Bravo right now and I'm like, please someone take me outside of my lived experience, Salt Lake City is like picking me up and then just throwing me in a fucking fire. And it's great because there's just so much energy. Beverly Hills, I have found interesting. But then it's like when my brain is like, Salt Lake City, more than something. Beverly Hills is just not obviously as dynamic. How could you be? But I also think maybe it's just going to be a not lighter, but just kind of like a lower energy season, I think.
I would say that Beverly Hills so far this season, I think there have been 4 episodes. I think it's pretty good. I don't think it's this, like, total locked in firing on all cylinders the way that Salt Lake City is kind of, like, every week right now. But I think with Beverly Hills, kind of what they have going for them is that there are a couple of, like, genuinely interesting storylines unfolding that we have sort of invested a lot of time and energy in, and now seeing the way they're playing out, the Kyle and Dorit stuff, obviously Kyle and Mauricio's continued separation, Dorit and PK's separation. Maybe there's not enough going on with the rest of the cast is perhaps what I would suggest. That I'm kind of, when I'm looking around and I'm like, okay, so, like, Dorit and Kyle, lots to look at, lots to talk about. What's really going on with Garcelle? Erica is very funny to me this season. I think she's having a good sort of, like,
really good season.
I think she's having a great season energetically. I don't think that there's, like, a ton going on. And so I think that's maybe where Beverly Hills, to me, I just feel like they could use, like, a little bit more substance. I think Bo's is a really fun addition. Like, I think her energy obviously is so different from what we've seen on Beverly Hills or honestly like on Bravo. I mean, she's this like legit exec of,
she's like a literal baller. She literally is like
baller, also like
phenomenally successful,
beautiful fashion, yeah.
Oh,
everything.
My God, obsessed.
And like, you know, the unfortunate like aspect that her husband passed away, like she has a lot going on. We're still kind of seeing like how that translates to her being a Real Housewife. But yeah, I mean, I'm enjoying Beverly Hills, but I think comparing to Salt Lake, it does feel like there's just kind of like less material to talk about.
Mm-hmm. Are you feeling overwhelmed by hormonal changes? In the words of an unnamed former OG New York housewife, we support other women. There are more than 1,000 hormone disruptors living rent-free in our environment right now. In our food, our water, the air we breathe, the clothes we wear, our skincare. And they all mess with our hormones. Then there's the natural hormone changes our bodies go through. Perimenopause, menopause. And while it's a natural process, it doesn't mean we don't suffer through it. In the time before that time of the month, I don't feel like myself. I recognize a change in emotion after the fact, but during it, it's so difficult to understand what is different about the experience of being me that changes in a matter of days. The good news is we don't have to suffer through any of it anymore, because now we have Hormone Harmony, a formula made only with herbal ingredients that are shown to reduce hormonal symptoms in women of all ages. Hormone Harmony is not just a hormone-supporting supplement. It's become a phenomenon. Women cannot stop talking about it on social media. A bottle of Hormone Harmony is sold every 24 seconds. And the biggest benefit, feeling like myself again. That's what women mention over and over in their reviews. And there are over 30,000 reviews for Hormone Harmony. For a limited time, you can get 15% off your entire first order at happymammoth.com. Just use the code AndysGirls at checkout. That's happymammoth.com and use the code AndysGirls for 15% off today. I never knew you could treat depression symptoms from your phone. But with this prescription app called Rejoin, it's possible. It's for adults age 22 and up with major depressive disorder who want to add to their antidepressant medication. And get this, it's the first and only prescription app authorized by the FDA to treat depression symptoms. Rejoin does not replace your current medication. Be sure to use as directed by your healthcare provider. And if your depression symptoms worsen, seek help immediately. Get started today by talking to your healthcare provider or visiting meetrejoin.com. That's meetrejoin.com.
At Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
I am confused by Kyle. I'm confused that we have seen Kyle on this show for this long. You know, she's in my top five. You know, I love and adore
her. Of course.
Love and adore her. German Shepherds forever. All of that being said, you know, we're very close friends. All of that being said, it is sort of slightly bewildering that we don't have, and maybe that's because there's no good answer. Maybe it's just people grow apart. But I'm like, how are we not diving deeper into the fact that she and Mauricio are mid-separation? Because she clams up in such a way that I'm like, mm-hmm. We've had you on this show for 18,000 seasons at this point. Like, why aren't we getting more here?
Yeah, and it feels like the way that she's chosen to open up is when she talks more about, like, you know, the girls are leaving home and Mauricio's not living here. And so the house is so empty and this wasn't what I thought it would be like, which of course is, I'm sure, a very real thing for her where she is in her life right now. And we've seen other people go through that too. I mean, Giselle is kind of in like empty nester mode for the first time on Potomac right now. I think that's an interesting thing that a lot of people deal with in one way or another, but that it feels like she has located that as the one thing that she's kind of willing to be vulnerable about, and that in terms of the actual dynamic with Mauricio, we're sort of like not being let in much there. And the one scene that we did get this past week or maybe it was last week, when Mauricio like comes over to the house and she's like badgering him about whether he has enough sheets and towels at his new place. It's like, Kyle, please. Like, what is this?
Well, I don't know. I mean, badgering. I mean, she doesn't.
She's offering to buy him sheets.
Yeah, she does not need to, quote unquote, mother her husband that she's separated from.
You only have one set of sheets? Let me buy you sheets. And he's like, babe, I got it.
But also, they've been, you know, she had Pharaoh when she was, what, 19?
Yeah.
She was married, divorced. She met Mauricio, remarried, couple more kids. Like, she is now trying to find herself completely outside of this identity that she was so understandably, obviously proud to have. Like, this is who I am. I am in relation to I am the, you know, provider in these ways for my children, for my husband. The pride that she had for it is like complete mazel tov. But also, I think she's just trying to figure herself out. The thing about Kyle that drove me a little bit nuts on the most recent episode was her referencing the loss that she has experienced as a way to silence Dorit.
Yeah.
Where she's like, you haven't had enough grace. You haven't been quiet enough, I guess, about my behavior, which came as a result of losing her best friend to suicide, which was a devastating situation. And the separation, I'm truly not equalizing the two, but just those were the two things that she referenced. That gets into this like very complicated area where she might not be intending to be manipulative, but like mm-hmm. Kyle can still be held accountable for bad behavior, even if she's dealing with incredibly difficult things in her life. And her trying to use that in that moment to get Dorit to shut the fuck up and maybe shame her did not pass the smell test for me.
I agree. And I think within that same conversation, what I found super interesting was she did sort of say, like, you know, these last 2 years have been hard. So why are you whatever? But then she also copped to the fact that she punishes Dorit. Yeah. Dorit said she feels like she punishes her, and Kyle was like, you're right. And so I think that's where it's a little hard.
Well, she only said you're right because Sutton vouched for it. She didn't say you're right when Dorit said it, did
sure.
she?
I don't remember exactly. Yeah. But like she agreed that she has punished Dorit.
I'm not gonna take that away.
And so yeah. I think that you can't quite have both, where you say I think there is a place for the idea that it's like, I've had a tough last couple of years and maybe I haven't been the best friend to you in that time, or I've been, you know, absent or whatever. But if Kyle also then is agreeing that she has punished Dorit for saying things that she didn't like, then it's like, okay, well, there's a little more calculation there than just like, I was busy with my own stuff and I forgot to text you. I forgot to check in. And something like the Amazon Live comment, which I feel like has been a little bit beaten to death, is like, it is relevant, I think, that she's saying on this public platform that they're not as close as Dorit says they are. It's like, I get why that hurt Dorit.
This is where my brain broke apart. Thinking about that Amazon Live and her constantly trying to say Dorit has no right to be upset about our friendship because we're not close. And then watching how she and Erica completely either misunderstood or misinterpreted, mishandled what Dorit was saying about her relationship with, trigger warning, Teddy Joe Carrot, when Dorit never said we are not friends. What Dorit said is we are not close. Dorit was honest and was not being, to me, punitive in saying that. She was just describing her relationship with Dorit, her relationship with Teddy, which, like, first off, that's what Kyle was trying to say about Dorit, but she was doing it in a way that was trying to punish her, number one. Number two, this whole thing, they weren't close. Like, Kyle is saying the thing about Dorit and like whatever, and we're going through levels here because are you saying that I'm not close on camera? Well, you've had this alliance, it's worked well for us before, so why are you trying to tear it apart now? There's that. But also, I don't think it's a huge, grievous, crazy thing for Dorit and the rest of America to say I'm not close with Teddy. Like, and also, P.S., just as a little sidebar, John Mellencamp, like, big fucking deal. Like, all, you know, like, respect, all respect. Like, aside from who you gave birth to, like, you've done nothing but great work. So, but also, Dorit was sharing something Teddy wanted her to share because Teddy tagged her in it. So take this up with whoever fucking recorded you guys having a private family moment. Oh, wait, you were on stage in Vegas or whatever, watching your celebrity dad. We didn't get a second of ever during your time on this godforsaken platform. So now we're offended on Teddy's behalf that Teddy, celebrating her father as well she should have done it on the show. One could argue, maybe not. You're posting on fucking social media with your pals who you're friends with, but not very close. Of course, Dorit is going to repost it. I didn't understand their perspective on it. I also didn't understand Garcelle's perspective on it. I'm not like coming out of here Team Dorito, like Cool yeah. Ranch, whatever the other one is.
No, the whole like Instagram,
nacho cheese.
The whole like Instagram share thing is just like, are we really pretending that this is like?
But I actually
a big deal.
But even if they do believe it is a big deal, I disagree with them. I don't think Garcelle being like, this is hypocritical. I happen to disagree. I don't think it was hypocritical. I think this was like so stupid, but she was tagged in a thing. She's being a friend, not a best friend, but a friend in resharing it.
Right. Like resharing an Instagram story that somebody tags you in is truly like the lowest form of social interaction. It's like, okay, I could see her assistant doing that. Like, it's not even like
Dorit's paying for an assistant.
Well, I feel like she is
maybe
not that
multitask.
Good with money.
Maybe like whoever she.
I don't think she needs an assistant.
She had Chris.
Maybe Jagger is her assistant.
Maybe she. I mean, homeschool.
Jaggy baby, can you go through mommy's mentions and reshare the one with John Mellencamp?
It's entirely possible. She also had the hair person that Tracy Tudor uses.
Justine.
For her hair. No, Chris. Chris X, I think, is Chris's name. I forget. But I did take note because Chris is not inexpensive. And I think maybe Kathy was also using Chris for this trip, but I forget. Mm-hmm. Kathy maybe used Chris previously. Anyway, I just was like, that's money. This is like a reputable, good person.
Well, that's
who,
the problem.
Talented person. Like
Dorit pays for the best, even if she can't afford it.
When are we... This is,
or the, maybe she doesn't pay.
Oh God, I would hope that she.
I don't
does.
Know anything. Don't.
We don't know
me.
Anything.
I just,
who's gonna come for her?
Just be
the IRS.
Just laugh.
Come on, there, I'm sure there's a line at the door. Like, I just for Dorit, like, how do you see? Sometimes you do see, like, in it, unless you're Sutton Strack and you're getting $325,000 a month, it's not a lot. Unless you're in that position, like, usually there is a change in lifestyle when you're going from, you know, two incomes to one. How does that work if neither of you could have afforded the lifestyle that you've had for so long?
Well, she's going to have to start selling more of those Beverly Beach little mesh cover-ups.
It's going to be a blessing, honestly.
It is a little bit like, okay, so like PK Works, I guess. What is that? Does
she was Tinkerbell in somewhere outside of London. Remember?
It was in London, but yeah.
Was it? Did she make it to London? I thought it was like outside towns.
Well, it was like, I think maybe they did a mini UK tour, but there were London dates, but that was like a Christmas pantomime. But I
would have gone. I 100% would have gone.
I do like, I really respect though that I feel like we're getting like a pretty, not like complete necessarily in its entirety, but like we're getting a good amount of Dorit and PK. Mm-hmm. Separation content so far this season, and comparing that to the way that Kyle has handled her situation with Mauricio, like last season the timing was a little bit tricky where they obviously were working through some issues during the course of filming, but then the official separation was maybe not until after that, so they did the like pick up at the end. But like it feels like this season you would expect that maybe Kyle would, now that it's out in the open, that we would be getting a little bit more from that, and we aren't. And so I don't know, it's like on at least one level I like respect Dorit and PK for like kind of giving us what we want on the show, and like I don't know, it's tough. Not telling the kids is so hard too.
I listen,
like they were going to, when they went on this trip to Oceanside, Dorit is gone, PK is in town, but at the apartment that he's moved into, but he's not with the kids because they haven't told the kids that daddy moved out. So the kids are supposed to think he's like off in London working or something. I'm like, this is so complicated. And I know it's complicated, which means there's no like simple right way to do it. But I'm like, this seems so, I don't know.
I was confused. I don't know if she said this on the episode or the after show, but I was confused because she said something like PK said he was going to have the kids come to his apartment and she was upset. Like, of course, they're not going to come to the apartment. So she had to figure out something else, I guess, while she was gone. But I was thinking, like, why doesn't he just stay at the house?
I don't know. But I mean, like, I don't have kids. I haven't gotten divorced or whatever. So I don't want to, like, you know, explain how you should handle that. But it is like, it just, you know that it's going to be hard. And so it's tough to see, like.
Well, that was what Sutton found herself connecting to before the ribbon cutting ceremony, when she was like, you know, James was this. And then I was like, who's James? But when she was saying that James was the same age Jagger was when Sutton and her nameless billionaire husband or multimillionaire bajillionaire husband split. Like, that would, if I was in Sutton's position, if I was someone who's watching someone go through this or start slowly to kind of go through this process.
Yeah. We know his name, by the way.
What's his name? Billion?
Christian.
Oh, yeah, I forgot. And then I'm just thinking about Christian Horner. And I get very distracted. shout out F1. You don't watch Drive to Survive?
I don't.
Oh, God, it's so fucking good.
I'm sorry.
Ugh. And I've been holding. What was the season that just came out? People are screaming into their earphones. I think we're getting ready for season 7. It's on Netflix. So I think season 6 was the last one that came out. I never watched it because I was waiting for an emergency mental health crisis when I needed entertainment because I love it so much. And I got it.
And you got it.
Unfortunately. So I was watching it while I was in Rhode Island to be like, feed me, please.
Okay. Did you see there's a Netflix show about polo now? I think they're trying to like run it back.
Yeah, Megan.
Like every sport.
Megan and Harry. Harry and Megan.
Okay. I don't know. Go on.
And Nacho, the celebrity, like the most famous polo person.
Okay.
Who's on all the Ralph Lauren, very attractive.
Sure.
Ralph Lauren ads. I haven't seen it. I will watch it.
I believe you will.
I will. What happened to Megan's fucking Martha Stewart
American
thing?
Riviera Orchard?
Yeah. The jam. I wanted to watch other people buy a jam.
I'm sure 2025 is going to be their year.
I think that's when, because she had a Netflix show where she was going to make the jam. I would be down for it.
Sounds riveting.
I would be down for it.
I'm not. Never mind.
Okay. Circling back. So I understood Sutton being like, I'm connecting to Dorit during this moment. But also, like, I don't know. I don't know what. I think Dorit and PK are trying to figure this out. But also, like, do we see a future here? Or are you guys just incompatible? Because I think the robbery had a lot to do with it, too. Like, in how you guys used to depend on each other for support. Yeah. Dorit also in that moment was not getting the support that she needed from PK. I do think that there was obviously issues in their marriage that they never told us about, the viewers or people in front of cameras in the cast. I'm sure Kyle had an awareness, I would assume. I don't know who else might have, not Carrot. Other people that she was quote unquote close with until she wasn't. I don't know. It feels like even the way they were having dinner with each other, I was like, okay, they're friends. Like, I'm not.
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't know if they're interested. And this is not a criticism at all. But like, are you guys interested in working this? Is this the long goodbye? I don't know how you figure it out. I really don't. Therapy, hopefully.
Yeah. Kyle was the one who said that Mauricio signed a 6-month lease, right? On his apartment.
Yeah, and she was upset because he bought the furniture instead of having it staged, which he could have had done.
Like, to me, with Dorit and PK, like, do I think that they're going to get back together? Like, probably not.
Yeah.
Like, I feel like if you get to the point where one person's moved out to an apartment, like, chances are. But then I feel like they're still in more of a fresh place with it, where Dorit is still really figuring out like what it means, what it looks like. They haven't told the kids. They're obviously just kind of getting into the logistics and how their relationship is going to be. Then with Kyle and Mauricio, it's like he's moved out. He signed a 6-month lease. He bought the furniture. They've been separated now for like a year and a half, basically.
He has Dancing with the Stars in his frame to fuck with her.
Dancing with the Stars in his frame. I think he was like hooking up with Anita in Aspen or something. You know, he's been like...
Who's Anita?
Very famous Brazilian
singer. Oh, love.
Singer.
Okay. Shout out Brazil.
He's worldwide at this point. And then on this week's episode, when... she's asked in the confessional about if she thinks there's a chance that she and Mauricio will get back together. Mm-hmm. She declines to answer.
Ruh-roh.
And it's like, what are we doing here? Okay, maybe in her mind, it's not 100% no, but like, you're on a reality show about your life. Like, why are we can't be declining to answer the question that is so obvious to ask. It's like you've had over a year to like figure this out. And whether like by figure it out, I don't mean like she should know for 100% certain that they're getting divorced or whatever, but like figure out how you want to address it on the show.
Yeah. And I think that there's something to be said for like, having boundaries where there's a part of me having boundaries where there's a part of me that's like, okay, she doesn't want to get into it and they're respecting her boundaries. But then there's another part of me that's like, okay, copy that. But a lot of people aren't afforded that level of protection by production, that level of follow up where there's an expectation by people who have, maybe this is just what happens when you have the kind of seniority that she has on the cast. She's been an OG and on every season of Beverly Hills is incredibly important to the network. Maybe this is just one of those things where if you're not as necessary or as valuable to the franchise as Kyle is, or maybe haven't developed the relationships with production as she obviously has, which is not an insult anyway, that's just the reality of life. These people have been in our life for well over a decade. I just kind of feel like, okay, it's just we devoured content based around Kyle Mauricio for so many years, and maybe there weren't questions asked or really answered, and that's all fine and good, but like they are at a different point in their lives now. Like, aren't we at a slightly different point in our life? What? Is there so much going on in Beverly Hills that we don't really need to have a little tension in confessionals or something else?
Yeah. And I mean, obviously when it comes to the relationship with Kyle and Morgan Wade, like, I'm curious about that. I would like to hear more about it, but I actually do understand, I think, this season, if it's coming from Morgan that she was not prepared for what was going to happen last season, and she has asked Kyle not to say her name on camera, you know, whatever, if that's coming from her, I can understand that. The thing with Kyle and Mauricio is that it's like, they've been on this ride together for 14 years. They've both bought into this and reaped the benefits many times over.
Many times over.
And so it does feel a little bit like, I don't think that, I mean, in terms of like privacy and, you know, personal details, of course you can have your own boundaries and things like that. But it does feel like we're being sort of like kept out of the room in a way that feels like a little bit, you know, a little bit harsh for the show.
This is the thing about Kyle saying she wasn't afforded enough grace. I don't know that Kyle has an understanding of how much grace has been afforded and given to her, because like, I would guess the reason that Kyle didn't want to answer those questions is because she wants to protect her kids. I genuinely don't think it's because she doesn't know where she is with Mauricio. I think it's because she's trying to protect her kids, but also obviously, as we saw on Mo's now canceled Netflix show, like we saw more of the fallout from them not talking with their kids and their kids finding out stuff when it broke in the media and some like tension from that. Like it was very, very well done on the Netflix show that Netflix got than what we have had access to, unless you also have a Netflix subscription and braggy. So when it comes to like Kyle not asking things or like looking for grace from Dorit, all this other stuff, I'm just thinking like, do you have an understanding here that you are allowed to not share stuff on your reality television show because you have built up a decade plus of goodwill? But the goodwill also, are there any kind of strings attached? Because we have become so connected to Kyle's story. Many of us or you're watching it, whatever, however you feel about her, I love her. So it's kind of like, okay, well, you've gotten a lot of goodwill. You've gotten a generous amount of protection. Mm-hmm. Is anybody going to ask any kind of follow-up pointed questions, or are we just quiet around Kyle? Like,
right.
We can't,
right,
like Dorit has to take one for the team this way.
Right. Like Jen,
all the time.
Jen Pedranti can say, leave Ryan alone as many times as she wants. And
Tamara's
they're not gonna.
Tamara's coming in with FBI merch. Okay.
Yeah. It's tricky. Clink. And I think that might have something to do with, like, in this Dorit and Kyle dynamic that we're watching this season. Like, I think a lot of people are leaning team Dorit. And I think that, obviously, there are a lot of nuances to their relationship and to the things that they're arguing about and have had issues with. But, like, I also think that it probably doesn't help Kyle that people are just generally not thrilled with the way that she's shared or not shared stuff about her life for the last couple of years. And that on a show where personal information is currency, like, I think that she hasn't put that much in the bank the last couple seasons, as much as we know there could be. I think that's the thing. It's like, it's one thing if your life is just, you know, blissful and easy and you kind of are just there as like a fun side character. But it's like, no, Kyle is the main character. And it feels like we're not getting like as much as we know is happening under the surface.
And we know there's going to be another big blow up because we saw it in the trailer for the season. It is just kind of this like little awkward dance right now, mm-hmm. which we've seen also on, not to pivot back, but like Salt Lake City. Like, you know, there's going to be a little bit of a dance here in tension.
Ebbs and flows, yeah.
Yeah, it is interesting. I don't know how interesting it actually is. I just think women are maybe more inherently complicated than men. It's one of our special skills. But the fact that Mo and PK are still like close and hanging out is like, that's not surprising.
No, they don't have... and when they're like, it hurts me that like PK and Mo have never been closer and we've never been further apart. I'm like, there's like more to that than just like bros, you know, boys will be boys and girls will be girls. It's like, yeah, because you guys are going back 5 years to nitpick at when Dorit made a comment about your Kyle and Shahida fashion show.
Oh my God. I couldn't go back. I couldn't believe they were going back that far. Neither could Sutton and I think Jennifer Tilly. We were like, what?
I liked when Sutton and Erica, I think, were sort of like mouthing across the table and Sutton was like, is this? And Erica's like, years ago.
When Erica had her head in her hands at a certain point at that dinner, I was like, okay, a little drama, but also, yeah, I probably would be exhausted. Who only knows how long that went on?
Right. And we know that Dorit can be long-winded.
Verbose.
The Dorit Kemsley Memorial Blabbermouth edit.
I need to get her on Andy's Girls. Never have I ever wanted to have Dorit on the show, and she's like first in line right now. I just want to hear her. I just want to hear her talk. I want to see
She would love the Clawfis.
She would. There's no way she's coming to this part of... I would say it's a different floor of Bergdorf Goodman than she's seen. There's a tunnel that'll get her from 60th to wherever the fuck we are right now.
But yeah.
You know what? If Shannon can come.
Yeah.
She is my queen. She's my god. She's my deity. She's my icon. She's my life. Dorit Kemsley.
My friend, my soulmate, my sister.
La venta de Super Sábado de JCPenney te trae regalos de último minuto y los mejores doorbusters de este fin de semana hasta el día de Navidad. Como compra uno y recibe uno gratis en camisas y pantalones de vestir para caballeros solo en la tienda. O suéteres para damas desde $12.99 y mantas en Sherpa a $14.99 cada una. Es Super Sábado. JCPenney. Vale la pena. Ofertas válidas del 20 al 25 de diciembre en selección de estilos. Aplican exclusiones. Detalles en la tienda jcp.com.
Yeah, it's
wait, can we just sidebar?
Sure.
I got a very lovely video message from Vicky Gumbelson, OG of the OC.
Oh, I saw
who
that.
Read, yeah. Thanks to Christian Gray Snow, friend of the pod, who Vicky read my dad's sayonara letter and sent the sweetest video message. I felt like I should have put it on grid. I posted on stories.
When you
the fact, I felt bad.
When I was watching it, obviously right away I was like, oh, that's nice. And then when she mentioned the letter, I was like, that's like really
that's very
lovely.
Yeah, I showed it to my mom and tried to explain.
She's like, who's this lady?
I tried to explain to my mom and brother. We went to dinner a couple times while I was in Rhode Island, which is a very, very big deal, just because of how things have gone for my family. But the fact that we were able to go to dinner together was very meaningful. And then I was trying to explain who Vicky was. And then I was like, well, speaking of cancer, let me just sidebar, but Brooke's heirs. And then we took a turn. And I was like, no, but we love her. And my mom went from like, this is nice, to like, what's happening? And I was like, don't worry about it.
It is so funny.
My mom said she's George Washington. It's how I defended her.
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah. Totally.
Not no.
Yeah.
My mom is very Bravo illiterate, and like, it's funny because I think she just thinks I'm like friends with the housewives a lot of the time.
Oh, my mom does not think that. Yeah.
Because I was just in Las Vegas for the opening of Lisa Vanderpump's latest restaurant,
Baby Wolf.
Pinkies by Vanderpump at the Flamingo. And it's funny because this is very weird, but it's the second Lisa Vanderpump restaurant opening that I've traveled to this year. And so my mom just...
Was Wolf also this year?
Yeah, it was in April in Tahoe. And my mom just thinks that Lisa Vanderpump's like inviting me to her stuff. And I'm like, no, it's like a press trip that like a publicist... Like, not like Lisa Vanderpump, I don't think, knows who I am.
Wait, so Pinkies... Where is it again? You just said it out loud.
It's at the Flamingo.
Because I remember we were texting while you were there and stuff.
So Lisa now has three spots in Vegas. There's the Vanderpump Cocktail Garden at Caesar's Palace, Vanderpump au Paris at the Paris, and then this one at the Flamingo. Yeah, she's taking over the world.
Goat cheese balls?
Yeah, they have... the ones at the new, they have like a different kind of variation of them, like with different like sauces or garnishes or whatever at each one. This one has some kind of like hot honey sauce. They were good. This, I think the new one of all the one places in Vegas, I think probably has the best food.
So it's edible then.
It was pretty good.
I love that.
It's a really good pull apart bread. What's
pull apart bread?
It's
he's just gesticulating with his hands. Very helpful.
Like
what a kitty cat does when it's happy. Makes like, what's that called? Biscuit.
A secular challah.
Oh my God, we didn't even mention representation matters. So great to see so much Jewish shit on Salt Lake City.
Yeah.
Loved it. I was singing out loud some of those goddamn prayers that have been drilled into my mind.
I liked so many things about the bat mitzvah episode, but one thing that I thought was really like, again, we were talking about it with this past week, kind of the balance of the scene with Mary and Angie and the like hilarity that ensued in Mexico. I feel like at the bat mitzvah, they were able to balance everything ridiculous that happened at that event, mm-hmm. while also still holding space for like the genuine meaning that event held for Meredith and her family, and Mary peeking in the windows while she was singing the prayers.
That was one of the funniest things that I've ever seen in my entire life. That was one of the funniest things I've ever seen.
But I feel like I could have seen a version of that where like Meredith being a 50-year-old woman having a bat mitzvah was like used as kind of a punchline or something, and like it didn't feel like that at all. And I don't know, I just really appreciated that, and you could tell how much it meant to her, and it didn't feel like anybody was... It felt like even though people were maybe making a mockery of themselves at the event, nobody was making a mockery of the event itself.
And just to say, I mean, Jews are not a monolith. We all have our different thoughts and feels, but my mom she did not have a bat mitzvah at the age in which we typically do. She decided to have one. Similar age, I would say, to Meredith when she did, and I went to it. I remember we have photos in our house of it, because she wanted to further connect. And then I think she was like the president of the sisterhood at our temple. We're go-getters, the Galley Schmalowitz clan. So,
and did anyone have pornish hair at the bat mitzvah?
Nobody had porn hair. Everybody was dressed so inappropriately. Every single person there, I couldn't believe the tits that I was seeing. I was like, not so close to the Torah. It was a little disrespectful. So then I just had to remind myself that it's like, this is very meaningful for Meredith. I fully believe that because of the rise of global anti-Semitism, she's like, I want to do this on camera. Loved it. So I would never take that away from her.
I Did you also
clock... The sequins were a lot.
Did you also clock that Seth...
Not her sequins.
That Seth was wearing a pink Meredith Marks branded yarmulke?
Of course I did, because I was very distracted by looking at which husband's head had a Meredith Marks, because we saw a shot of it, did we not? Of, well, like, he had a different one.
He was choosing between two, and I think Brooks was like, not the pink one.
Brooks, and to see Chloe more this season,
I love, yeah,
and the monotone, I love their voices. Those kids seem, and her son, who we read, who we never see. The fact that, like, if anybody has questions about whatever, you know, let's, her parent, her mother was there, yeah, her sister was there, also gorgeous, like, their whole family is like fucking supermodels. Yeah. Like, it just, it was obviously very meaningful to her. It was meaningful to Seth. I personally have never, but everybody gets, you know, it's, everybody has their own experience. I've never been to and I've been to many, uh-huh, B'nai Mitzvah. I've never seen a bat mitzvah where someone has had a phonetic reading of the Hebrew next to, while she's near the Torah, where I was like, oh, that, I, had I been allowed to do that, my...
Like, I could have a bar mitzvah tomorrow.
The 2 weeks before my bat mitzvah, when I realized that, like, shit was on the line. Because my mom had focused so much on the fact that, this is a shout out to Rhode Islanders, but, like, she was the very first person who realized that she could have a special event on the floor of Cafe Nuovo, which is a former, like, bank in Providence, and she made it into this. It was, uh-huh, a big, she still has one of the table decorations, a bag of sand,
of course,
that balloons used to be connected to in her bedroom. Like, planning my vows was a big fucking deal. But, like, the couple weeks before, when I realized, like, you're about to humiliate yourself in front of everybody, and had a panic attack. I almost called it backstage, and the head rabbi of our temple was like, just think of it as a one woman show, which did soothe me. I was like, performer hat on, we're good to go.
Great, I'm Joan Rivers.
Quite literally. But, like, it's I just had never seen it before, but God bless. I just wanted to say that out loud, because I could not stop thinking about it when I watched it, but also, like, am so thankful, yeah, to have these moments. And also, it led to a spectacular reception in which to blame Angie alone, everybody was acting inappropriately, yeah, because it's Housewives.
Yeah.
It was, we all got it. It was like an important, people were drinking cocktails during
espresso martini at a
sequence. Like, what are we even doing? Literally, Angie K being like, I look like a mother when her, like, she's in, like, skin tight Versace.
Plunging neckline.
But it was fantastic. It was literally fantastic. I'm so glad it happened. And it was genuinely important to Meredith and her family. And I am so thankful that we had it. And also, Meredith screaming at the reception and, like, throwing Angie out, which was so wild. And to have security escort her out, which was so nuts. But also, she's bringing shampoo and conditioner, so I don't even know where she's, we,
bitch,
are
I
right
brought
now.
You a gift. Where was my gift? My Greek Mafia anniversary party.
And then Angie, I felt bad for Angie, because she was like, this was my first bat mitzvah. I was like, sweetie, oh no.
Yeah, no, I appreciated that even in when she and Meredith had, like, gone to such a low place in this week's episode, Angie was still maintaining, like, I wanted to come because, yeah, I knew it was important to you. Yeah. I wanted to experience this for the first time. I didn't want, you know, she was unhappy with the way that event unfolded, more than just being mad at Meredith for kicking her out. And I think it was nice that they were able to sort of, like, come to some resolution, I think, largely based on that. Wait, also, this is, like, I'm really liking Meredith this season.
Yeah, she's funny.
I love hearing her talk about wearing hearing aids. I just think that that's, like, it's such a
small, it's a big deal.
It seems like such a small thing, but I think, like, just to talk about that just kind of, like, as a fact versus, like, some big to do of, oh my God, it's so whatever that am I gonna wear a hearing aid, what will this mean? It's like, no, she just wears them. And obviously the whole thing with, like, Angie being like, turn over your hearing aids, bitch, like, but then I also just had to laugh. It's like the Brooks and Chloe comedy hour when she's like, she's talking about my disability and, like, it's not a disability, it's a superpower. And Meredith just kind of, like, cracks a smile.
Because she's happy.
I would love to spend a day in the Marks household.
Oh, God, I love them.
Just taking, like, a bath.
Oh my God.
Taking a Xanax.
Brooks has really, and Brooks is so young. We've seen Brooks on TV for so long, which is like kind of wild.
I noticed they flashed his age. He's 24 now.
Wow. I feel like he's always been 24.
He was like 19 when the show
that
started.
That is nuts.
And Jen Shah was tweeting about him being
Lord.
A twink.
Oh my God. Yeah, it's great to see them together. They just have a really, it feels like their family is really close and really connected.
Yeah.
Also, Meredith Marks is 32 years old and I won't hear otherwise. And I was very just, you saw me, you came in toward the end of me rewatching the episode. And the scene of Meredith and Lisa sitting in villa number one, don't you forget it. I was like shaken by how young Meredith is. And I know that she gets dragged for her use of filters on Instagram.
Yeah.
But like, genuinely, this woman is ageless. She is giving me more ageless by Ramona than Ramona ever was.
She looks really good. And I think she's one of those people where, like, I think she, like, knows her look really well. Like,
yeah.
Obviously, some of the, like, you know, feather blazers and stuff that she wears are like a little ridiculous, but like she is so true to her own mm-hmm. style and everything. And I just think she always looks good. She wore the outfit she was wearing at Bravo Fan Fest in Miami was like so fucking cute. It was this like teal-ish, like matching like jacket and mini skirt, like metallic set with like a white tank top underneath, and she looked like a fucking Polly Pocket doll in the best way.
Oh,
like so
love.
Cute. I'll show you a picture. But
oh my God.
I was just like, she's so hot.
She's hot. She's so is Lisa
mama.
Barlow. Lisa Barlow is really fucking hot.
Yeah.
All this of is, these women on Salt Lake.
This is like a really like good looking cast.
Angie is hot.
Yeah.
Who else is there? Whitney's beautiful.
Whitney's beautiful. Heather looks great.
Heather got to see Heather's transformation because she got just so much of that. I don't know anything about it. This is like go to, you know, our you know, Dana, right? IG Famous by Dana. Dana's been on the pod before. IG Famous by Dana. I like look to her for information. She often like takes apart what people are saying and she knows like the science behind it and everything. But like what Heather has dissolved, I think, mm-hmm. It's a great campaign for like, if you haven't started, maybe don't, because she just looks so much more natural. And I know that like natural comes from, I mean, she owns Beauty Lab and Laser.
Natural asterisk, yeah.
Natural asterisk. But like, I just think she looks so great. Some of that filler stuff just really, I've never had anything. And that's just because I'm just honestly too cheap. I just would never, yeah. I just don't care in that way. I really don't. But the filler of it all, I mean, look at what Brandi Glanville is going through with this like
it's
filler
like
that
genuinely
goes like different.
Scary.
It's very scary because even when you get it dissolved, I don't know that it ever, how do you know if it's ever fully left? It's very scary.
Yeah. No, but they look great.
I'm not yucking anybody's yum.
You know, there's also, saying. There's a creator on TikTok and I don't know her name. But she makes these videos breaking down what people are wearing on Housewives shows and specifically how much their outfits cost.
Oh my God. If I was on TikTok, first follow.
These Salt Lake City women are wearing like thousands of dollars of clothes. Like she'll be like, this pair of pants that Lisa Barlow wore is $4,000. Like, I think they might rent a lot of clothes, which you can do like high end rental like that. But like, They're like dressing down. Like they are, I feel like Salt Lake 5 years ago, we were like, okay, what's this like? Is this like what, like Mormon mommies? What is this going to be? And then it is just like, I can't say enough about it.
But it just makes me nervous because I'm like, don't spend your money on us in that way because you're not making enough.
Well, Lisa Barlow's like paying for a plane to go to London with John. So she's fine.
When she said that, I watched that moment so many times. I don't know if it's because she was kind of like stumbling on her words or whatever.
She was like, yeah, I didn't pay for a plane because I'm putting that money to my own vacation.
To go to London next summer with John. I really was just like, this is, I don't even know how I would describe the love that I have for Salt Lake City right now. But it's like those kinds of moments where I just delight in them so much. It's wild.
Well, the whole shampoo thing, but specifically that first moment when Meredith is like, she knows that I have carrot in my hair, so I can't use a shampoo with sulfates. So it's actually not a thoughtful gift. Like, it's just so, it's so perfectly pitched. Like,
it really is. Don't ever, they could never change Salt Lake City. The thing about Salt Lake City is like, it's so embedded in the DNA of Salt Lake City, the meaning the show specifically, not the place. Most important, obviously the show, is it's just, it's so good and so chaotic and wild. And I almost feel bad for Monica. Because how you're watching this and like, had you just changed your strategy on the reunion, you could be making income right now.
Yeah, I am.
But I don't miss her at all. And that's not me insulting her at all. I'm just saying this show, this season is perfect. So it's not like we're missing that extra energy, but she could have been a part of it.
I just recorded with our friend Gibson Johns.
We
for
love.
His podcast. And now he and I, every 6 months, this is our third time we've done an episode for his show, Gabbing with Gib, which is great, where we name our Bravo winners and losers of the year or of the half a year or whatever. Love. And this is a spoiler because I don't think it'll be out yet, but Monica was one of my losers because I just think like that season and that finale especially was so iconic. And obviously she was a big part of that season. But then it's like the way that they have turned it around without her is like, it's like epic. And she's sitting at home. Is she selling baby blankets? Is she, you know, starting, you know, burner accounts? Who knows? But she's not making a Bravo paycheck, so
it sucks.
It's gotta be hard to watch. I mean, like, I'm sure
I would be so upset.
I'm sure Jen Shaw's like, you know, scribbling on the walls in prison being like, I could have had it all. Did you see her release date got moved up
for the third time or something?
Yeah, now I think it's 2027.
Here's what I'm gonna say. This is a literal threat.
If you're in line to get released from prison, stay in line.
This is what I'm gonna say. This is a literal threat. They better not even pretend that she's coming back. It will ruin the show. I don't want to see it at all. I don't want to see her as a background performer at a fucking cocktail party thrown by whomever the fuck. I don't want her anywhere near it. Don't even think about it. And it's 2027, I think. We're now in what? End of worst year?
It's about time. Basically in a little over 2 years, she will be released.
Don't even think about it.
Yeah.
I will lose my fucking shit. I will continue to watch. Nothing will change. I wouldn't take that away from myself. Are you kidding me?
Well, did you see that Meredith shared on Watch What Happens Live that Jen recently called her and they had like a 10-minute chat?
Yeah, but she didn't actually share what they were talking about. So what was the point?
She said she sounded good.
Great. I was deeply concerned.
It was like an audience question. Like she wasn't.
Yeah.
It wasn't like she brought it up to tell the story.
But like Meredith, what are you doing talking to her for 10 minutes?
But I asked Heather when I saw her if she had gotten any calls, and she said no. So,
well, I don't even.
They got Heather, put the phone down. We didn't talk about Married to Medicine, but did you know that Contessa is back on this season?
I knew that, which is how I remembered that it was coming back soon, but I didn't know that it premiered, and I feel partially responsible for not sharing the gospel that is Married to Medicine, but I like didn't know, and I've also been dealing with some things, but I absolutely plan to watch.
Okay.
I am still partially fucked because I have to catch up on New York, and then Potomac, I'm like 18 episodes behind.
You're not.
That's it. That's all I'm. Oh, and also Southern Charm. I do want to talk about it. I want to watch it.
It just started last week.
Okay, great. And Married to Medicine. I can't believe Married to Medicine is weeks in and nobody called me from Married to Medicine HQ to be like, we are looking at the numbers and we saw one person wasn't watching. And that brings up our percentage, if you would.
Sweet Tea is back.
Is she doing okay? Married to him?
So I don't know. I've only watched the premiere. So
talk about somebody who's been protected by production. Dr. Greg, just a little bit. Listen. Oh yeah, I want to see what's going on with Shep. I don't like him.
He went on an ayahuasca retreat in Costa Rica, which he said was like 3 years of therapy in 4 days.
Well, you know what? I've actually, and now I'm thinking about Prince Harry, because I think Prince Harry's talked about that too.
Okay.
Ayahuasca therapy. I was talking about that with somebody. I think at my dad's Shiva, ayahuasca came up.
Do you remember Adriana doing ketamine and like being like visited by her father?
Oh yeah, was it Adriana?
Yeah,
and okay,
she's.
I remember ketamine therapy.
Yeah, she was like her full body like racked with.
I
sobs.
Have, you know what? I believe that like that stuff can work. I really genuinely do. Listen, let's.
I'm like, what time is it? 9 p.m.?
No, we've literally been recording for 16 hours. Can I just say one quick thing while I'm ranting? Actually, two quick things. Number one, Sutton trying to defend Dorit, but really the show, by saying use your outdoor voice when you're inside, and Dorit fighting with her about it was tough. Like, what Sutton was trying to say was, like, Erica, when you're shading Dorit, speak louder so that we have stuff we can film. And Dorit being like, how dare you yell at me?
Like, Sutton!
They're on an interesting frequency right now, because that was the same episode where Sutton had pulled Dorit aside on the boat and been like, I've been through what you're going through, so if you need help with anything, I'm there for you. And then by the end of the episode, they're screaming at each other on a sprinter van. It's like, you never know what's around the corner.
I think at that point, I don't think Dorit really was picking up what was being put down. And I was like, just listen to her for 1 second. She's not actually blaming you for something. She's trying to tell Erica to speak louder so that we have content.
I did have to laugh, like, at Sutton's little, like, sisterhood circle ritual thing with the ribbon tying around the hands. It's like Sutton being the one who's like, we are all sisters and we have to come together. I'm like, ma'am.
Now I'm thinking about Hello Dolly, ribbons down my back. Number two, unrelated to Bravo, yes, but I was forced to watch Prestige, excellent scripted television, while I was in Rhode Island. And one of the best things I have seen in my entire life. I can't believe they're doing more seasons, because it was a perfect first season, but I'll support them in anything that they ever do for the rest of their lives. Shogun.
Oh, yeah.
FX. Mm-hmm. I could not more highly recommend it. I sound like I'm angry right now, because I just, like, wish it was still new, but I'm going to watch it 15 more times. It's on FX. It's fucking incredible.
And I would say
Jeff and I watched it.
I watched it in the spring when it was coming out, and I almost feel like I should rewatch it, because I feel like it took me a few episodes to realize how, like, important it was.
Yep.
And I don't mean important in, like, a boring, like, eat your vegetables kind of way.
It's important.
It's like you need to, like, sit down and put your phone away and like, pay attention.
I did it the
hour.
Whole time.
And yeah, no, it's
all 10 episodes.
That's a great show. I also just watched, I think I told you I watched Say Nothing, which is the new FX show about the Troubles in Northern Ireland. And that was really great. I also read the book it was based on. So I would recommend that.
I want to watch that. I also watched Coleman Domingo's limited Netflix series called The Maddening. And also then, because I was thinking about Coleman Domingo, Jeff Tobes and I watched Sing Sing.
Oh my God.
Couldn't.
Sobbed?
No, didn't. Oh, but I think we'd been crying
so much that we were like,
let's think about the joy and the promise and the potential. Like, really excellent movie.
So good. I'm glad that movie it's such a small movie, and I'm glad that it's sort of like sticking around during award season.
Everyone in the cast was really excellent. The credits videos was just really wonderful. But also, just circling back to The Maddening on Netflix, like, sort of, well, not sort of, thriller energy, and Coleman in a thriller, delightful. A stronger start than it had finished. It kind of wobbled a little bit, but I was happy to watch it. Really was just like, I need something, and I was happy.
They should. What if Sing Sing
and Colm,
but Jen Shah?
I don't want to see. We've seen enough of Jen Shah.
Jen Shah and Elizabeth Holmes.
Entertainment.
Oscar nominees.
Well, I think that they are performing for each other, right? Like, she's doing like exercise classes and stuff.
I think so.
I want to see Jen do well, just in theory, because I want her to pay back the victims of her many crimes.
Yes.
So there's also her ex-assistant was just sentenced, I think, to 9 months. And had obviously helped the government quite a bit in building their case. I want
restitution.
I don't care about Jen at all, which does not mean meaning ill for someone. I would like to see her figure out ways to be gainfully legally employed so that people who she defrauded are hopefully made something close to whole. But I do not want to ever see her back on Bravo, and I don't trust them at all for agreeing. I think that they're gonna figure out. God forbid. Let's just continue cheering on Salt Lake City as the perfect show it absolutely deserves with the perfect cast and just hope that that continues.
I agree.
Listen, facts. Amen.
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 What about me?
I
have an announcement.
I love her. I love her. That might be title of ep. I love her so much. I haven't had a chance to watch What Happens in full. I've only seen clips, mm-hmm. but like, and she was on with Heather.
Yeah,
I would love to watch to see Heather's expressions because Heather gets that Brittany is who she is and Brittany definitely does not. And I would love to see that energy figure itself out.
Yeah. I think Heather is like, I know a lot of Britneys and
yeah,
just because of the community she comes from and for all that, it's like.
Also, fucking isn't bad. All right.
Fucking isn't bad. Sex. We live in a sexual, sexual world.
You know, like a sex something and they meant sex positive.
Sex is everywhere.
You know what? You get to decide whatever it is that you're going to do. But like, if you are maybe lying or whatever, and they go to a flashback of you showing your past crotchless,
just because you wore lingerie for him doesn't mean that you crotchless. Had sex.
I think that they were crotchless lingerie.
Look,
I love it. I don't want to see Jared ever again, but I think that they are probably still together, which is deeply concerning. But I just more Brittany at all times, more Brittany forever and ever.
Amen. Maybe she'll play Roxy in Chicago.
She is more qualified than any other Bravolette aside from Ariana, who we love and adore.
I don't know how many tickets she'd sell, but I'd be there.
I would be there. She could work concessions or something. She doesn't need to be in the show to be a part of the family. Like, she'll be in Chicago. Someone buy her a ticket to fly to Chicago. She can be in Illinois. Listen, Dylan Hafer, Sweet Baby Dill, a pleasure and a thrill to record for 16 hours with you. This is so fun. Can you tell? This is so fun. I just said it like Brittany would have.
I love that.
I love that. Will you tell the EGs where they can follow you and listen to the any? You have so many Bravo Lebs on.
Yeah,
mention it all.
Yeah.
Mention
it's
it all.
Always, always a pleasure to be back in the Clawfis. And you can listen to Mention It All three times a week, wherever you get your podcasts. Like I said, I mentioned I had Danny Pellegrino on this week, which was really fun, talking about a little bit about his Hallmark movie, but also just that we talked about like so much the housewife stuff. Yeah, and I had Heather Gay on recently to talk about her new book, Good Time Girl, which I actually did really enjoy. And you know, you never know who's popping up next. I'm about to take a little holiday break, which I'm very excited for. But yeah, and follow Bravo by Betches on Instagram.
Wow, we'll talk about your holiday break offline. I'm okay. Curious. Listen, join the Andy Scrolls Patreon. Hasn't been an episode yet this month, but there will be four by the end. So
it's only like the 13th.
I know.
It's so much time.
I know. And I take the Patreon very seriously because I'm so, so thankful for Patreon support. I am just barely getting by right
now.
Well,
you've got a lot. You have a lot of content to catch up on.
I do. You know what? That's very true. I do have a lot of content to catch up on. And I love recording those Patreon apps because I get a little extra zesty, which is fun for me, for my energy.
A little pornish.
I get a little pornish. I get a little crotchless panties. Okay. It's going to be the name of the next episode. So you can join the Andy Scrolls Patreon. Number one way to support the pod at patreon.com/AndyScrolls. Slide into my DMs on Instagram at Dame Galley and send me your satchels of gold, your thoughts and feels, questions and concerns named in honor of Her Holiness Kelly Cloran Ben-Simone, and those might be used in an upcoming Satchel Spectacular on the AG page where I respond to and feature and delight in hearing AG thoughts and feels about all things Housewives, Bravo, and more. And thanks again, SBBD, Sweet Baby Dill. This was a joy. We recorded for over 2 hours. I'm so sorry.
I always assume we will.
I don't even know what we talked about. And that was only two franchises. There's still two others.
We talked New York a little bit.
We did talk about a little bit about New York. And I expressed regret about Potomac, which I will catch up on, I swear to God. Because I think something's happening with Stacey, I think.
Well, there's always something happening with Stacey.
Love that.
You
energy.
Know what's not happening with Stacey?
Sex.
Sex.
It's okay.
I had Stacey on the podcast and I enjoyed chatting with her.
Was she fun?
She had a very unique energy.
Okay, so that's usually not positive.
No, not in a bad way. It was just okay. Like, I mean, she was a QVC host and like you can tell, but yeah. I think that's kind of fun.
Love that. Love that energy for her.
There's something for everyone.
Love that energy for her and us. And I guess like stuff's happening with Mia too. This is like really, because everyone's just like, yeah, we know because we've watched the show. And I'm like, you know, I think there's like things happening on the show.
The Mia members. And Gordon stuff is, it's a lot.
Gordon still features into the season.
Yeah, yeah, here and there. But like, it seems like he goes back and forth on how he wants to be portrayed, if at all. So.
Oh, yeah.
Breaking
fourth wall stuff?
A little bit, but like Mia, according to Mia, he is manic. And so.
Well, he was diagnosed with.
Yes. So, like, there are some episodes where, like, things will be fine and then he'll get mad. And then it's just like.
Where she might be using the term in a way that it's not applicable.
I don't know. I don't know that specifically, but okay. Like. They're living in the same building still.
Yikes.
And obviously she's with Ink, and I think he's sort of triggered by that.
Gordon, well, I mean,
and there's still like paternity. So it's
still?
Well, because they haven't actually done the paternity test.
Did they not?
They just keep talking about it.
Oh, I thought that they did.
It's messy. It's like interesting, but a little messy.
Me. Yeah. Okay, great. Well, I can't wait to catch up. Thank you so much. Consider that maybe the Potomac catch up is how that happened. All right. And thanks to you guys so much for, we'll pretend that made sense in a grammar kind of way. Thanks to all of you for listening to this episode, and we will chat with you soon. Bye-bye.
At Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Experience holiday cheer at Tanger Outlets with savings up to 70% off your favorite brands. From fragrances to accessories and the latest styles, discover the best gifts for everyone on your list. Save big at Nike Factory Store, Michael Kors, Under Armour, Coach, Polo Ralph Lauren, Kate Spade New York, and so many more. Unwrap the best at Tanger Outlets. Hundreds of brands, endless gifting options. Plan your trip at Tanger.com.